At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Mother Wound Project podcast. I'm your host, Tandy. Have you ever felt guilty for wanting space from your mom? Or for simply putting your own needs first? That's not you being selfish. That's what I call the good daughter trap. This is the invisible role that so many daughters get groomed into by emotionally immature mothers. It's the one where you're expected to be your mother's emotional support system, her confidant, her cheerleader, and sometimes even her therapist. From the outside, it looks like love and loyalty, but underneath, it's emotional servitude. And it comes with an unspoken rule. Your job is to keep your mom happy, no matter what it costs you. You're never going to be heard. You're never going to be seen. But you are expected to hear her, to understand her, and to provide support for her. Maybe you were praised when you were compliant, when you made her look good, when you did what she asked, and played the part of the perfect daughter. But the moment that you try to set boundaries or have your own opinions or live your own life, the guilt sets in. Suddenly, you're, quote, difficult or ungrateful or selfish. Does this sound familiar? So today, we're going to explore why this role is so soul-crushing, what it's really doing to your self-worth and your emotional health, and how to start taking small, powerful steps out of the good daughter trap. One boundary, one truth, and one act of self-honoring at a time, because that's what it takes. And there's going to be guilt along the way. And I know this, I have felt it in myself, and I have also worked through this with clients as well, dealing with the guilt of finally standing up for yourself and finally saying, I also deserve to be heard and seen. And if I am not heard and seen in this place or in this relationship, then I'm going to take a step back for my own sanity. And there's a lot of guilt that comes with that. But let's start by really looking at what the good daughter trap actually is and how early it begins. For many of us, it starts in childhood, and in reality, it's pretty much all of us. This starts in childhood, where you're told to be a good girl, you're told to make your mother proud of you, you're expected to listen to her when she is talking to you about struggles that she's having, or she expects you to make the decisions that she wants you to make, whatever that might look like. She may also expect you to fulfill certain roles. So if your mom feels like beauty pageants and cheerleading and being popular is really important, she's going to try to push you into cheerleading and dance classes and stuff like that. Or if she thinks that academics is where it's at, then she's going to try to push you to get good grades. And it's all about making her look good, though. It's not about who you are and what you want to be in your own life. It's what she values. And then you're expected to value those same things and be that for her. But being a good girl to an emotionally immature or even a narcissistic mother, it's not about being a good person. It's not about being thoughtful and kind and compassionate and being authentic. So if you are artistic or you're really good at playing an instrument, maybe those things aren't things she values, and so she discourages you from those things and tries to push you, pigeonhole you into what she values. So it means following her rules, her beliefs, and her image of what you should be, even if that version is not authentic for you. You become the, quote, mini-me version of her, smiling on cue, saying the right things, dressing the right way, believing what she believes, doing the things that she wants you to be doing. You don't have your own opinions, your own boundaries, your own authentic self, because to her, you are an extension of her. You're an extension of her identity. This looks like, I say this a lot because this was kind of what I grew up in, but being the cheerleader, because in her version of the world, that's the most popular, best thing you could be. And she feels superior to others because she's the, quote, cheerleader's mom. So this means you're going to be the beauty queen and the cheerleader because she wants you to, not because you actually want to be. And this could go the same for, you know, mom wants you to go to law school. Mom wants you to go to Harvard. Mom wants you to be a, you know, soccer star. Or it doesn't matter what it is that she values. The point here is just that what she values is what you're going to be, no matter what. Her expectations of you, what you should do or become, will depend on her view of the world and what fuels the image that she wants to portray of herself to the world. So she may want to be the mother of an honor roll student. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't do that, but you see when it's for her and the image that she's trying to portray rather than for your benefit, that's where we're running into an issue, right? It's if you hate soccer and you don't want to do it and your mom thinks that that's the greatest thing in the world, so she's trying to put you in soccer and make you be a soccer star. It's where this kind of these worlds collide, where it isn't what's authentic to you. It isn't what you desire, but it's being pushed upon you. That's where we're running into an issue here. In the good daughter trap, love is conditional. It's earned through your performance. Through being the daughter who makes her proud, the daughter who never questions her, the daughter who never disappoints her. You learn to be her emotional support, to carry her worries, her moods, her insecurities. Now, this can look different in different dynamics. Every mother-daughter relationship is different, every single one of them. So as I go through this, you might be like, my mom didn't really try to get me to be a cheerleader, or she didn't really try to get me to be something, but she definitely treated me like a therapist. Or you're going to see different dynamics. But, you know, sometimes your mom might even share struggles in her marriage and say, Dad just isn't listening to me, or Dad forgot my birthday and Dad has done hurtful things. Those are things that a mother should not be talking about to a child, right? So this dynamic can look in a lot of different ways of how you are expected to perform for her. It could even just be you expected to be the therapist, or you're expected, I know some mothers that love having a good time and you're just expected to drop everything and go to lunch with her if she wants, or go to go shopping and she always wants to have a good time and you're just supposed to do that with her. And when you start having responsibilities in life and having a little bit more independence, she gets frustrated and then starts playing the victim because you are now starting to have your own life and your own independence. This isn't nurturing, it's enmeshment. It's an emotional role reversal where the child becomes the caretaker and the mother becomes the dependent. And that's where you will see, you know, she doesn't like it when you're independent. She wants to rely on you for her emotional needs. She wants to rely on you when she needs a friend to go somewhere or do something. And this isn't, of course, I don't want this to be mistaken as doing things with your mom is a bad thing, or having your mom call and say, hey, let's go to lunch. No, that's normal. I'm not talking about normal relationship stuff. I'm talking about enmeshment where she is angry if you have to go to college or you're going out with a boyfriend, or she's getting jealous of your friends and in high school, jealous of your boyfriend, jealous of other things because she wants you to be for her. Does that make sense? That's where we're getting into the toxic aspect of this. It's not in just the fact that you do things with your mom. That's normal. That's healthy. But the good daughter trap has one unspoken rule. Your job is to keep her happy, even if it costs your own authenticity and your own happiness. That's where the toxic element comes from, is that your needs and desires are completely ignored in priority of hers. That's where we're running into an issue, right? When you fail to meet her expectations, or when you express a different belief than her, so if your religious beliefs are different, if your political beliefs are different, you know, if your relationship dynamic is different, maybe both of you are working and she doesn't like that, whatever it might be. If you set a boundary, if you don't get the straight A's or win the dance competition, whatever it is, if you simply just need some space, there's going to be a cost. This is where the toxic dynamic comes in. Because in a healthy relationship with your mother, if you have a different belief system than her, it's not a problem. I have children. Both of my adult children have different belief systems than I do. And it's a non-issue. If my child didn't get straight A's, they didn't get straight A's. You know, there was none of this you're expected to perform type of a thing. But when you fail to meet these expectations or you believe differently, a lot of times, depending on your mom, it may just be outright criticism of you. She may just criticize and just very blatantly tell you that this is a stupid decision, and she may attack your beliefs or attack your boundary or attack you for not getting the straight A's or winning the thing or whatever it might be. Or it may be passive aggressive comments that she makes. She may give you the silent treatment. It, again, very different depending on your mother and how she's going to react to this. But I've seen, you know, examples of where a daughter was having a lot of digestive issues. And I think I've talked about this before. She was not eating dairy and it was making her stomach feel a lot better. And so she brought a dairy-free, like low sugar kind of healthy dessert to a Christmas party, and her mom berated her in front of the entire family. Like all the extended, there were cousins, aunts and uncles, all of that. This is what you'll see. You know, the mother, so her mother is like really into cooking and really into, she loves sugary desserts. She does not like healthy things at all. And so just something as small as you made a dessert that's, her mother was embarrassed because the dessert was what the mother termed gross, right? It wasn't this gourmet fancy dessert. It was healthy. And the mother felt like that was embarrassing. And so she berated her daughter right in front of everyone at the party. So it could be something as outward as that, or it could just be passive aggressive comments. For example, your mom thinks that you should visit your grandma or whatever, and you've been busy and you haven't gotten around to visiting her for whatever the reason is. And your mom is like, your cousin has been going and visiting your grandma. Now let's say your cousin lives 15 minutes away and you live 3 hours away. Your cousin has been going over to see your grandma, but you haven't gone to see her in a long time. And that's not quite as overt, right? But this is the kind of things that you're going to get when you don't do what she wants. And she's never going to take you into consideration. Mom, I live 3 hours away. Nope, doesn't matter. That's never going to land with her, because it's what I expect you to do, you will do no matter what. I will not hear, you know, your own needs or ever seek to understand you. And so you learn that love can be withdrawn at any moment. And that to be, quote, good, you must sacrifice yourself to keep the peace. Just like this example that I gave you of the dessert. It's a stupid thing. It's perfectly fine for her to bring a healthy dessert if that's what she enjoys and that's what she wanted to bring. But in this moment, realize the yelling and the berating and all of that, the humiliating of her daughter, it really is. I will love and care about you only as long as you do what I want. If you do not, then there's going to be hell to pay. Over time, this conditioning plants a belief that love equals sacrifice. That to be loved, you must please other people. That your needs are less important than everyone else's. That you exist to serve, but not to be seen. This is the dynamic that a lot of women who have been raised by emotionally immature mothers or parents end up in. And it can be very painful. The emotional impact of that belief ripples through every area of your life. So for one thing, you struggle to say no. Even when you're exhausted, even when you've worked all day, even when you are going through really hard things in your life, you have a hard time saying no to someone because you have been conditioned to sacrifice your own needs and yourself for other people constantly, or you will be berated, rejected, whatever, condescending comments, however that played out for you. You often may feel guilty for even resting. So you'll have a level of overfunctioning that happens. I know a lot of women, if they were ever sitting on the couch after school watching a show, just kind of trying to unwind, they would be called lazy. And they would be called all kinds of names and told that they need to do homework and they need to be working and they need to be doing things. And there was constant shame for resting. And so as an adult, you just inherently feel guilty if you rest. If you may feel guilty for prioritizing your needs, because growing up, you were always expected to prioritize your mother's needs. Your fear of being seen as selfish, even when you're just trying to survive, because your mom always made you feel like you were being selfish if you ever wanted to do something for yourself. And you often stay in toxic relationships far longer than you should, because deep down you've been taught that your worth depends on how much you can endure, on how much you give to another person. So this is where we really get into the damage that this does. This is the heart of the good daughter trap. And it's not about love, it's about control through obligation. And the longer that you stay in it, the more disconnected you become from your own soul, from your own authenticity, from yourself. The good daughter is not who you really are. She's who you had to become in order to feel safe and accepted. And now I want to dive into the cost of staying in this role. Now, this is nothing about the level of contact you have with your mom. So I'm not telling you, you know, you have to cut contact with your mom in order to get out of this trap. That's not the case at all. It just means that you stop prioritizing other people, that you stop self-sacrificing to the point of self-abandonment. That's what I'm talking about. So the truth about this trap is that it doesn't end when you move out of your childhood home. It follows you silently. Either your mom continues to try to control you, which is very common. She will condemn you for the partner that you chose, for the career that you chose, for what, you know, whatever that you're choosing, the degree programs. But it can also follow you into every relationship that you have, friendships, decisions that you make. It can infiltrate every part of your adult life and even how you perceive yourself and how you overfunction and overexplain yourself. It's a pattern of self-abandonment that runs deep. And most women, in my experience, don't even realize this is happening because it feels normal. If you grew up this way, it just feels normal. You spent so long prioritizing your mother's needs that you don't even stop to ask what you actually want, what you actually need. You've been conditioned to scan every room for what other people need from you, your mom, your partner, your friends, your coworkers, and you meet those needs before they even have to ask. But nobody does the same for you because you've never learned a reciprocal relationship where there's give and take on both ends. Because with an emotionally immature mom, you give and that's it. She does not give in return. And so it becomes a survival strategy that once was necessary for you as a child, but now it leaves you feeling exhausted, resentful, invisible. And a lot of this is because your entire worth has been tied to meeting everyone else's needs, and there's no space left for you. And then this leads into chronic guilt and anxiety. When you've been groomed to be the quote, good daughter, guilt becomes your constant companion. You feel guilty for saying no. You feel guilty for resting. You feel guilty for not answering her phone call. You feel guilty for not going to the family party or to the holiday event. Everything makes you feel guilty because you've been groomed to prioritize her. So when you try to set a boundary, maybe not going to a family event, even a small thing, your nervous system goes into panic mode because you know that that is going to result in negative consequences with your mother. It feels like you're betraying her when in reality, you're just finally choosing yourself, and your brain and nervous system doesn't know how to handle that because it's always bracing for impact from your mom when you exert yourself in some way. That's the hidden cost of this conditioning. It wires your nervous system to equate independence with danger. So you stay stuck in anxiety loops, apologizing for things that aren't your fault, afraid that being honest about your needs or about how you feel will make you a, quote, bad daughter or a bad person. And then we lead into low self-worth and perfectionism. So your mom's love may have felt like it came with a scoreboard. Approval when you performed, criticism when you fell short. This is what you're always bracing for. If you didn't get the straight A's, if you didn't win the beauty pageant, if you didn't earn the award or make her look good, she let you know that you had failed in however way that looked for her, passive aggressive or just all out criticism, however that looked, the silent treatment, whatever. Sometimes it was subtle. Sometimes it was just a sigh, a rolling her eyes, a disappointed tone, passive aggressive or condescending comments. And sometimes it was blatant, yelling, humiliation, punishment, and the silent treatment. You learned early on that love had to be earned, and you've likely carried that belief into adulthood. Now your self-worth is tied to your productivity, your success, how much you give. If you're not doing, achieving, or proving, that inner voice whispers, you're not enough. You're lazy. You're not a good person. So you push harder, you strive more, perfect every detail, trying to avoid the shame of disappointing someone again. And this then leads into the identity crisis. The good daughter trap doesn't just shape your relationship with your mom. It can shape your entire identity. And this depends on how deeply entrenched you've been in this narrative, okay? You were never taught to ask who you are outside of what she wants and what makes her proud. So you might find yourself years later asking questions like, who am I when I'm not taking care of someone? And I don't even mean that this is conscious. Like, you literally just, if there's no one to take care of, you don't know what to do with yourself. You believe what she believes, you do what she does, and you never question, well, what do I really believe? What do I need? Who am I? You don't even ask those questions because it's all been shaped for you. You might notice this pattern showing up in friends as well. You're always the listener. You're always the fixer. You're the one who never says no. You're the one that always shows up. But what you may find is a lot of your friends would never do the same for you, because you're going to attract these people into your life because you are the overgiver, the overachiever, the overgiver. You're the one that shows up. You're the fixer. You're all of these things. And those are the people that are going to stick around because they're going to use you. You may find this in romantic relationships as well, attracting partners who mirror your mother's emotional immaturity, because self-sacrifice feels like love. These people love daughters of emotionally immature parents because, again, they over-sacrifice, they overgive. Oftentimes, they're very empathetic, and so you will attract people that will exploit that. Not always, but it is a common thing depending on how much healing and work you've done on yourself through this time. So it's not that you choose the toxic people. It's that your nervous system recognizes the familiarity as safety, even when it's painful. So I want to give you an example of what this looks like. There's a woman that I know of who came from a very abusive home. Two emotionally immature people. Her parents were teenagers. When they had their first child, they were very emotionally immature. She grew up in an alcoholic, abusive home. Her mother was also physically and verbally abusive. And so when she was dating and looking for someone to marry, she's dating a really nice guy, and he's very kind. Everything is very calm, very supportive. He's just a very kind of laid back, calm person. She would panic. She would have anxiety around him and didn't realize until way later on in her adulthood that a safe, calm, loving environment felt uncomfortable to her. So this is an extreme example of this, but I just want you to understand. So then she met another guy who was sexually aggressive towards her, who was verbally abusive, who was actually narcissistic, and she ends up marrying this guy. And as much older, four kids later, you know, all of this, realizing that she basically just married another version of her father. And so this is why healing is so important. It's not about cutting parents off that, oh, I have peace now, I'm not in contact with an abusive parent. That is just the beginning. That is not the solution. So I want to give you another kind of idea. Let's say you had a long, draining week. You're exhausted, emotionally spent, and all you really want to do is curl up next to your partner and just be held, watch a movie together, you know, whatever. Have a nice glass of wine and watch a movie. Just to be the one who receives just for once. But instead, the voice in your head kicks in. Oh, my partner's probably tired too. I don't want to, you know, be too needy. I don't want to start a fight, or, you know, I don't want to overburden my partner. And so you push down your longing inside of yourself to just rest, and you ask how his day was instead. And you may even start doing things like making dinner, cleaning up. And then if he says, hey, let's go out tonight, let's whatever, and you agree, even though that's the last thing that you want to do. See? And so you're hoping for connection by agreeing to do something that you really don't want to do. But when he doesn't notice your exhaustion, or when he withdraws, something inside you quietly breaks. And then guilt rushes in, and you tell yourself you shouldn't be upset, you didn't do anything wrong, you're just too sensitive, whatever. But the truth is, you're starving for the love that you were never allowed to receive, but you're too afraid to ask for it. You're too afraid to expect it. You're recreating the same dynamic you had with your mom. Always giving, never receiving. Always making her, and now your partner, comfortable while slowly disappearing yourself. This is the dynamic that can happen when none of these underlying issues are addressed. It doesn't happen to everyone, but it absolutely can. And you will continue to attract friends and people in your life who treat you in this way, who will take from you but not give in the same way, until that underlying issue is healed. And this pattern is rooted in one powerful lie. My worth depends on what I give, not who I am. I want to repeat that. It is this lie that you believe that your worth depends on what you give, not who you are. You learn that love comes when you're helpful, compliant, and selfless, but not when you express needs, limits, or emotions. So now you find yourself with a partner who doesn't show up for you and expects everything from you, or when a partner does show up for you, it's hard to let them in. But either way, you're unable to receive what it is you really need. You may minimize your needs, deflect compliments, or say you're fine even when you're breaking inside. So even if you do have a partner that would show up for you, a lot of times you don't even allow it because you're afraid of needing anything from anyone. Part of you still believes that if you take up too much space, you'll be rejected, criticized, ignored, shamed, silenced, whatever. Get the silent treatment, just like when you were little. And that is where this pattern of, like, you really want to be loved, you really want closeness, but either you're finding people that are emotionally unavailable, or you're afraid of the vulnerability. And so one way or another, you're unable to have that really deep, intimate connection that you're really looking for. That's why I say staying in this role of, quote, being the good daughter, and then moving into friends and other relationships as you get older, leaves you trapped in an endless loop of guilt, obligation, and exhaustion where your needs are not being fully met. You end up losing touch with your authentic self, the one who existed before all of the performance for your mother, the one who's never had the space to breathe. The longer you stay in this good daughter trap, the more disconnected you become from your joy, your intuition, and your sense of freedom. So in the next section, I want to talk about how to start prioritizing yourself. So let's start figuring out how we can move on from this. When you've lived your entire life trying to be this good daughter, prioritizing yourself can feel unnatural and even wrong. So a lot of guilt and a lot of feelings can come up here. Your nervous system might equate self-care with selfishness, and setting boundaries as betraying someone or rejecting someone or hurting someone. But healing begins in the small moments, the quiet acts of reclaiming your time, your energy, and your identity. And I'm really big on the little micro moments and small actions that get you where you want to go. This is one thing I deal a lot with in coaching, is helping women move through the guilt and the emotions that come up as they start asking for help, as they start kind of showing up for themselves in different ways. You don't have to go no contact. You don't have to make huge declarations in order to start prioritizing yourself. The contact issue is an entirely individual thing. But when you start with micro steps, retraining your mind and your body to understand that you matter, your needs matter, your peace matters, your happiness matters, you matter, all of it matters. you need to start embracing that. So let's talk about a few ways that you can actually do that. Number one is setting micro boundaries. You don't need to start big with dramatic boundaries that change your life. In fact, the small ones are often the most powerful. So a micro boundary might sound like, I can't talk right now, I'll call you later. Or I need a moment to think about that. Or I only have 10 minutes to talk right now. These small sentences are simple, but they're radical for someone who's been conditioned to drop everything in the moment when their mother calls. Each micro boundary helps build nervous system resilience. It helps build a new pathway to showing up for yourself more and more and more. And it gets easier and easier and easier as you do it. The ability to stay calm and grounded when you choose yourself, even if the other person disapproves of what you're saying or doing. Over time, this strengthens your confidence and prepares you for bigger ones, the ones that truly protect your peace. So the next one, number two, is the 5-minute rule. Start small with your self-care too. Just take 5 minutes every day to do something that's only for you. It can be anything that you enjoy. You can sit in silence with your coffee. You can go for a run. You can take a bubble bath. I don't know. Read a book. Whatever it is that you like to do. Go play a sport. Go play pickleball or I don't know. Whatever it is. Even if you just take 5 minutes to do something for yourself. It might be a little bit of a pain to go to a pickleball court if you don't have it in your backyard, but whatever it is that you enjoy, take 5 minutes and do it. And this is not electronic stuff. So this is not scrolling on Instagram and playing games on your phone. This is something where you are truly being with yourself. And I want you to remind yourself, I deserve self-care. I deserve to take care of myself. I deserve to take time for myself. When you've been raised to believe everyone else comes first, taking those 5 minutes, there might be some guilt that comes up. But this is a revolutionary moment for you to give to yourself. Because every time you do this, you're retraining your subconscious to understand that you're worthy of your own attention. You're worthy of that, which should never have been taken from you in the first place. Number three, I want you to flip the question. So much of your inner dialogue has probably revolved around one question about what would make someone else happy, what would make your mom happy, what would make someone else happy, how you show up for those people. And this may not even be a conscious thing. It's not like you're thinking consciously, what can I do for her? But it's kind of the way that you've lived your life. But the truth is that question has kept you living for someone else's approval your entire life. So it's time to flip the question and say, what would make me proud today? What would make me happy today? Maybe it's telling the truth instead of keeping the peace. Maybe it's resting instead of overperforming. Maybe it's saying no to a phone call or an event that drains you. You start to live to be happy within yourself, not for your mother's expectations or someone else's expectations. And I'm not talking about being rude to other people or not considering other people. I'm just talking about learning how to care for yourself. And that's when you begin to feel a quiet freedom that you may have never known before. Now, number four, this is really important, and that's reframing guilt. So there's something that I want you to remember. Guilt is not truth. It's a conditioned response. The echo of all those years of being taught that self-care is selfish. That you feel guilt when you are taking care of yourself. You feel guilt when you say no about something. But what I want you to do is you can feel that guilt without giving into it. You can sit with it, breathe through it, and say, this feeling isn't proof that I'm doing something wrong. It's proof that I'm healing. Tell yourself that. It is not proof that you're doing something wrong just because you feel guilty. That guilt has been programmed in you. And every time you move forward, despite the guilt, you're teaching yourself that freedom is safe, that prioritizing yourself is okay. And I do use affirmations, but the reason that I like affirmations is because I believe that you need to get in the habit of validating yourself so that you are not seeking external validation. So the affirmations are not about changing something, making radical changes in the way you see yourself or whatever, because that just is not very realistic. These need to be just validating yourself. Repeat them daily. You can do it in your mind while you're brushing your teeth, during your morning routine. You can say them in the car when you're driving to work or whatever it is. But you need to remind yourself that you are not your mother's caretaker. And your worth is not measured by how much you sacrifice. I'm allowed to have needs, limits, and boundaries. I am proud of the woman I'm becoming. Like, you need to start validating yourself. No, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You need to be happy with you. I say this all the time. I've said this in many different places, but there is one person on this planet that you can't break up with, you can't divorce, you can't separate from, and you cannot walk away from, and that's you. Okay? Which means you need to be your own best friend. Stop being your own bully. Stop doing that. Why do you want to be trapped with your worst bully for the rest of your life? Don't do that to yourself. When those thoughts, those mean thoughts come up, the guilt, the whatever, shut it down. I'm not going to live like that. I am not going to live with a bully in my head. I am not here to be my mom's caretaker. I am proud of who I'm becoming. I am allowed to have boundaries. Just get sassy with it. We're not living with this bully. Okay? We're not doing it. If you got to get sassy with the affirmations, do it. If you need calm, do that. But make sure that you are validating your worth. Your worth is not measured by how much you can sacrifice. It's not. You can sit on your butt and watch TV all the damn day, and you are still every bit as worthy and valuable and lovable as if you work and chase busyness all day long. It doesn't matter. You have worth regardless. And I need you to understand that. So, yes, I can get sassy, but I want you to embrace this happiness and find the peace from the inner bully that has been installed in there by your mom. So breaking free from this trap isn't about becoming cold or selfish. That's a huge thing. It's about remembering who you are beneath the conditioning. That's what it is. It's about giving yourself permission to be human, to rest, to have needs, and to live for your own joy. I can live in a joyful space. Here, let me give you an example. I'm going to go on a tangent here for a minute before we end. But my husband, for example, he does live and do things that he's passionate about. He goes hiking. He does a lot of things that he loves. But he can also go and buy a bunch of pizzas and take them down under the freeway in the city and sit with the homeless people and eat pizza with them and talk and visit and hear their stories. You can prioritize your needs, take care of yourself, and also be an amazing person who cares about other people. Those things can both be true. But when you start prioritizing yourself, even in tiny ways, everything's going to start to shift. You stop living for someone else's approval, and you start living for your own peace. And now I want to talk really quickly about responding when your mom pushes back. Because when you start breaking free from this trap, it's not just your own internal world that shifts. Your external world is going to shift as well. And one of the hardest parts of this is what comes next, when your mom starts pushing back. So if you are not attending as many family events, if you're not calling her as often or not answering her phone calls or texts as often, she's going to push back. The moment you stop complying, the moment you make decisions she doesn't agree with, if she feels her control slipping, she may start questioning your decisions, guilt tripping you. She might cry. She may attack you, however she does what she does. But it's not going to be out of understanding, but out of fear of losing the version of you that always kept her comfortable. And that's when you need to remember you're not doing anything wrong. You're simply choosing yourself now. And I want to give you a couple of boundary anchored statements to help you stay grounded and clear when your mom starts to push back. I hear you, but I need to do what's best for me. That's kind of the attitude that you need to have. You can hear what your mom wants, but you also have a right to your own needs. And it will feel uncomfortable at first to stand your ground. I give a lot more of these boundary tactics and ways to respond to everything from guilt tripping, gaslighting, all of that in the Mother Wound Survival Kit. We go through this in detail on how to respond, because these phrases are your emotional armor. They're compassionate, but they're firm, and they can shift you from defense to being in your own power and reminding you that your choices are not up for debate. So I want you to feel this deep in your bones. You are never meant to live as someone else's mirror. That is the truth. That ache inside of you, the guilt, the anxiety, the fear of disappointing her, that's not your intuition warning you that you're wrong. It's the echo of a lifetime of conditioning. The woman you are becoming is going to learn to live differently. Learning that self-prioritization is not selfish, it's self-respect. You're not betraying your mother by choosing yourself. You're breaking a generational pattern that never should have been passed down to you in the first place. And if you're ready to take this deeper, to truly heal this guilt, this conditioning that's keeping you stuck in your life, I've created tools to help you every step of the way. So I was talking about the Mother Wound Survival Kit. It is actually at a lower price right now before it's going to go into some videos and deeper explanations. So the price is going to go up, but it hasn't yet. The Mother Wound Survival Kit is a roadmap to breaking the cycle of guilt, obligation, and emotional manipulation. There are scripts that you can use in many different situations to help you stay in your power in any conversation with your mom, to shut down the gaslighting and the guilt trips. There are somatic tools to help you regulate your nervous system. There is all kinds of things. You will also receive a hypnotherapy audio to kind of reprogram some of this and start setting boundaries with confidence. But then there's also, I do offer one-on-one coaching and hypnotherapy sessions where we go beyond surface level boundaries, reprogram the subconscious beliefs that tell you that you're only worthy when you please others, or the anxiety or the ruminating thoughts, whatever it is that you are needing, and helping you feel safe, seen, and heard. So that is, I do have limited spots available. I don't make a ton of the coaching sessions, one-on-ones available, but there are some. I do have open spots now, so if that's something you're interested in. But if you're also craving community, you can join the Daughters Rising Inner Circle. It's a safe, sacred space of women who fully understand you, because they are all going through the same thing. There are different levels of contact with their mothers, but they've all experienced what you're experiencing. You'll have support, healing conversations. We have weekly group coaching calls. We have weekly webinars to help teach you how to navigate various aspects of this throughout your healing and beyond. You can step out of survival mode and step into your power with the support of women who get it, because you don't have to do this alone. So today, I want you to remind yourself, prioritizing myself is not betrayal, it's healing. Your peace matters more than your mother's approval, and you deserve to live a life that's your own. So if you want to look at any of the things available, go to themotherwoundproject.com. You can check out all of the Work With Me links and see all of those things that are available to you. You can find me on Instagram at themotherwound.project, and we can have more of this healing conversation. I really appreciate you being here with me, and I will see you next time.